Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's another hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomeHaveATake.com. More of your tweets coming up. The Twitter handle is BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. No guests in this hour of the show, meaning if you want to get interactive, do it now because we're going to move rapidly in the final hour of the program. About 60 minutes from now, we take you live to the NBA bubble in Orlando. Looking forward to our latest conversation with Mark Medina of USA Today. In 20 minutes, we'll talk Zion and the race for eight. Could be nine with that weird gimmick. The NBA desperately trying to get Zion Williamson into the postseason. And that would be spicy. Pelicans, Lakers, with all the cross-pollination between the franchises. So in addition to the conversation with Mark Medina coming up in the final hour of the program, we'll wrap up the show talking college football with our great friend P. Futak from College Football News, reacting to the Big Ten releasing the schedule yesterday. We knew it would be only conference games, but the Big Ten following the lead of the ACC trying to go early, whereas the SEC and the Pac-12 pushing back to the end of September. But whatever Power Five conference we're talking about, they're all building plenty of flexibility into the schedule. Big Ten with 14 weeks to get the 10 games in. And we're also talking about the Big Ten title game. We will get you the latest on Tiger Woods as much as I can. If you want a Tiger Woods update, just call Adam Hawk at 1-800-636-8686. The executive producer who provides me with less than zero, if possible, is here today, at least in body, because he's on his phone watching every stroke from Tiger.
Wake up.
In the fog in San Francisco. Opening round, PGA Championship, first major of the year, no fans at Harding Park. Named after Warren Harding, president who passed away in San Francisco.
Private.
Don't want to speak ill of a former commander-in-chief, but if we're doing our anti-Mount Rushmore, the hack-off of presidents, Buchanan, Harding, Herbert Hoover from my alma mater, and then you can round things off. I'm not getting political today. Tiger is playing the sixth hole at last check, one under. The back has not stiffened despite the chilly conditions, and we'll talk about this coming up in 40 minutes. The real issue for Tiger beyond his age and his body betraying him is he's just not playing enough golf. So temper your expectations, but that is forward promotion. That is on the way. Promise your tweets. Let's get that done. 143CI. I prefer opting in to Magic City bubble for the Wings. Signed, Sweet Lou Williams. And he finally had to address that after the Clippers lost to the Suns the other day. Devin Booker on fire. And Lou had the right amount of contrition, saying, well, in retrospect, probably not the best decision. And if I'd gone to Steakhouse or Hooters, nobody would be talking about it. Mike in LFK, Richard Sherman, still has a few hours to opt out, since I'm sure he's still embarrassed by getting toasted by Sammy Watkins in the Super Bowl.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't want a piece of that. Kyle Shanahan, when you need the right play call in a critical situation in the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan is your guy. And he's still got the contract extension. C. Pavi, 51. Hawk was opting out before it was cool. Regards the Rona. Pandemic humor. Johnny in Texas. We wish we had a Wikipedia page, yours, the BIC, and Leff in Laguna. They don't have one. I'm sure they're linked to the history of the Smackoff.
Hey, Leff, you're a gimmicky little bitch.
I was referring to the fact that as a narcissist, I don't have a Wikipedia page. Don't start one for me, clones. I don't want to even guess the picture you would choose And I don't think you can use that photo of the two morbidly obese twins on bicycles. That is property of the Guinness Book of World Records. Let's get back to the NFL. Had a good NFL conversation with Steve Wyche of NFL Network in the first hour of the show. We talked about expectations for the Patriots because, to tie it into the premier news item of the day, countdown to the deadline in the NFL underway for Eastern is officially the final moment. A player has to make up his mind. Is he opting out or does he want to stay on a roster, at least for now, in training camp? And as Steve mentioned, if you're just looking at the raw numbers, approaching 60 players opting out, that is a bit surprising in that sport because I don't want to use a word that is applicable to real heroes, but when we talk about warriors in a sports context, who's tougher than football players? Probably hockey players with their lower body injuries, and that means they have a broken leg at the bubble in Canada, but we know the mentality in football. Next man up, do your job. So I am impressed that enough players have had the clarity and the foresight to think about, do they really want to be out there this year? Or whatever concerns they might have about a locker room setting, the travel component of the NFL, or maybe they just want to spend this time with their family, plus you factor in pre-existing conditions. There are a myriad of reasons why football players can make a rational decision not to play. But because we're talking about the Patriots with the Tuck Rule, the Deflategate, Spygate 1 and 2, there's always going to be a conspiracy theory, and there's so much chatter out there that, well, isn't it a coinkydink that the Patriots have 8 players opting out the same year Tom Brady parted company? That means that Bill Belichick is all in for team tank. It's a race to the bottom to maximize the draft possibilities because Trevor Lawrence is on his way to New England. Well, the problem with that is they did sign a former league MVP in Cam Newton. We're not talking about Jarrett Stidham being the starter. I can't see him winning that job as much as Belichick's mumbling that everybody's got to compete, and that includes Cam. The larger question beyond the health issues, because Cam's coming off the foot problem, you know about the shoulder injury, and the MVP season feels like a long time ago, is a cultural, in a sports context, an organizational perspective. Is Cam going to fit in to how the Patriots operate? And I bring this up, and we're going to talk about who has the best turnaround possibilities, who's going from the bottom of a division to the top coming up. But this quote from a player most of you have not heard of, Kyle Love, defensive tackle who's played for both Carolina and New England, got some resonance. He was asked about Cam Newton fitting in New England because he played with Cam in Carolina. And I'll give you the gist of the quote, just my opinion. I don't feel like Cam can take the pressure of coaches talking down about his play. If he had a bad game in Carolina, the coaching staff wouldn't say much to him because they may have felt he could be a little frail about it or maybe pout. They never really corrected to the point Bill used to correct Tom. Well, that is the perspective of a former teammate of Cam Newton, and certainly I'm going to respect that opinion. But I think we can take it a step further. Bill Belichick has always had a modified approach to different players. And yes, he could get hot when it came to Tom Brady, but he enabled Rob Gronkowski to do whatever the heck he wanted to on or off the field. I'm in a good mood. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers today, but there is a star system in any organization, including the Patriots. So it's going to come down to the mental side of football, and it's not Belichick who's going to be interacting with Cam that much. It's Josh McDaniels, who had a very open relationship on the business end of Tom Brady losing his mind time after time. Now, when Tommy got hot, what did we say? Oh, what a competitor. Look at Tommy. He's motivating his teammates. He cares so much, he's going to air it out. Well, if Cam Newton does that, what are we going to say? He's being petulant. He's being immature because there's always been a double standard. I think Cam has been treated unfairly in many respects. When we were talking about dabbing and touchdown celebrations, forgetting the fact that after he finished that Superman move, every time he scored a TD, he would give the football to a child to make that a special moment. And Cam has done tireless work in the community. Very active in charity. So that's just one element of it. But I understand the larger point that people need to be managed, and in sports, coached differently. I think Cam, especially because of his clear and obvious motivation, you want to count the money, straight cash home. He worked for Randy Moss in New England. Well, Cam is playing for his next deal.
Great cash, homie.
He's also trying to prove the doubters wrong who have written him off. I'm not a huge Instagram guy. Adam Hawk all over the gram now, just shaming us with his rock star lifestyle. Must be nice to be independently wealthy while the rest of us are grinding here in the jungle. But I do find it interesting that Cam, and I know social media is not real life, has changed some of the depiction that he chooses to put out there on Instagram. It's all about going to work and motivation. So I think the experiment not only is worthwhile, it's going to work out. The Patriots, and I understand the winning formula this year was going to be ground and pound. Well, there's that pound element led by the defense. No Patrick Chung, no Dante Hightower. I get it. But it's also very important to examine the division a team plays in. Okay, Buffalo probably has the best roster in the AFC East, and I'll concede that maybe they're going to win the division. But I'm not writing off the Patriots just yet. With the big if Cam can stay healthy, he changes the entire dynamic of that offense. He gives them a mobile quarterback in the red zone they've never had, going back to what? Champagne Tony Eason, Steve Grogan, who had that big neck roll back in the day. And the offensive philosophy is going to change. Sony Michel. And the rest of the running backs, ball control, work the clock, hope the defense, next man up, can be coached up by the greatest defensive mind this league has ever seen. So reports of the Patriots' demise may have been greatly exaggerated. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. Your tweets at BW Weber. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're talking Zion Williamson and the race for eight. The bubble in Orlando. I will press pause on the NFL analysis that I promised. We will get to what's going to happen when the games that count kick off 5 weeks from today. Hoping and wishing it's going to happen. The champs, Kansas City Chiefs, taking on the Houston Texans. But that's the top. That's the premiere of football. Because we go low in sports talk radio, I'm going to focus on the bottom. I'm going to give you the team that finished in last place last season that has the best option of making it to the postseason. That's on the way. Tiger Woods talk coming up in this hour as well. Mark Medina of USA Today joins us from the bubble coming up in 45 minutes, getting you caught up on what is going to be a very exciting day on the court. In addition to all the playoff implications, up next, we'll focus on the race to eight in the West. Is Zion Williamson rounding into form? The key word, as you know, is round. That's coming up. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Have you had trouble finding time to fully wax your car? 303 Sealant will save you hours. The SiO2-based formula is completely touchless. And a quicker alternative to waxing your vehicle. Plus, it lasts twice as long. It's so easy to use. Simply spray on and rinse off. 303 Touchless Sealant provides superior protection against paint fading and provides the ultimate shine in no time. It only takes minutes to get that same water-beating protection you get from a full wax, saving you hours spent in the garage. Save for paint, gel coat, fiberglass, plastics. Can even be used on your windshields and wheels as well. Can also be used when you're looking to prolong the time in between waxes or ceramic coatings. 303 products have been trusted for over 40 years. And they are the official car care products of Mecum Auctions. Available now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts, AutoZone, or Advance Auto Parts store. Visit 303radio.com for all the information.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio, simulcast on CBS Sports Network. Tremendous production, as always, by our talented and hardworking TV crew in the New York tri-state area. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, rome@havetake.com. If I'm going to be fully transparent with you, Twitter is your best avenue when I'm here, clutching this microphone, downshifting as we go up the hill. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. In 20 minutes, we talk Tiger Woods. What are rational expectations for how he's going to do? Is he even going to make the cut? That's the preview of what's coming up. Should he make the cut at the first major of the year? PGA Championship underway in San Francisco. That would be a major achievement. Details coming up. Tiger working now on the seventh hole at Scenic Harding Park. Hello, friends. Full weekend coverage on CBS. Kelly Tillman joining CBS this weekend. I think one of the best golf journalists we've ever seen. Great to have her come out of retirement, which was brief after her tremendous tenure at Golf Channel. Tiger, one under, still not on TV, so you need to be with me or tweet at Adam Hawk because he's thoroughly distracted. He'll give you a hole-by-hole update. Tiger, we've not seen him since the Memorial when he barely scuffled past the cut line, but he got there, was a non-factor. Certainly familiar with the region, having played his college golf, at Stanford University, about 40 minutes south in Palo Alto, although I didn't look on my phone. I'm guessing early August on the peninsula in Northern California, temperatures in Palo Alto will be high 70s, low 80s. It's about 54 degrees where Tiger is currently playing. We'll talk about not only what he is capable of this weekend, but what the outlook is moving forward coming up in 20 minutes. Straight ahead, we're talking NBA with Zion and the Pelicans getting ready to take on the Sacramento Kings, part of wall-to-wall basketball in the bubble. More of your tweets, BW Weber. Bella B. in Calgary, friend of the program. B. Webb, she wrote, I'm not going third person. Watching Catfish is high on the list of why he's a must-follow. Thank you. You're being kind, but the flip side of the analysis would be, I'm a lonely man who watches way too much television, and I will acknowledge that's the case. Eric in Orlando. Did Hawk finally shave that kooky caterpillar under his beak he calls a mustache? Look up, Hawk. Did you shave? I can't see past this phone with this 19 font. Okay. I guess that's an improvement. Thank you for being a part of the program. Go back to watching Eldrick in Northern California. One for three, honestly, CI. How could you not include Ike in the Mount Rushmore presidents? I was going the other way. And I know Mount Rushmore is a sensitive topic now. We're not talking politics, especially as the fill-in host hanging on by his fingernails. But since it should be obvious with all of the arcane local knowledge I'm throwing in there, I went to college in the Bay Area. I did radio and TV for 10 years. It's my home, as much as I love Southern California. Warren Harding passed away at the Palace Hotel in San Francisco. I've stayed there. I just happen to know. And now you know the rest of the story. Fascinating minutia. As a graduate of San Jose State University, I'm very proud to have that connection to Northern California. Okay, speaking of a team that plays in the state capital here in the Golden State, you got Sacramento and New Orleans. I'm not going to run through all of the combinations because we don't have time and I'm not good at math. That's why I got into broadcasting, just to grab this microphone as quickly and as tightly as I can. But the NBA designed the race for postseason seeding specifically with Zion Williamson in mind, because they came up with this gimmick, and I think they should keep it, although after 82 games, we probably don't want to see more basketball when we get back to quote-unquote normalcy. But this year, given the need to try to maximize TV ratings and come up with creative reasons for people to turn on their sets, if you still do it old school. I have the television that has the wood around it. It's really a work of art and piece of furniture in my studio apartment. This year got the gimmick that you could have the 9 seed versus the 8 seed, and the 9 seed needing to win 2 games to move on to the postseason. And things are bunched up tightly with a collection of very interesting teams all trying to claim the 8th and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Grizzlies have imploded, lost again yesterday, now 0-4 in Orlando. And if they're going to rebound, they're going to do it without their second best player, Jaren Jackson Jr. His season's done with that meniscus issue. Spurs are in the mix. I'm a big fan of Devin Booker with his flair for theatrics. Phoenix playing like they really could do something if they snuck into the postseason after being one of the more mediocre teams over the course of the regular season. But I got to temper this enthusiasm with a fact. All of these teams we're talking about have losing records. Some have abysmal disparity between wins and losses. Still, because we're just so happy to have sports back, we're going to put that aside. Blazers, if they get in, they're the team that nobody wants to face because you know about what Dame Lillard is capable of. I know it's been a long time since we were tracking the conference finals in May a year ago. Feels like decades ago, but remember how transcendent Lillard was in the postseason, taking Portland all the way to the Western Conference Finals, losing to the Warriors. You throw in McCollum, Nurkic is back, Gary Trent Jr. I'm old enough to remember his old man, the Shaq of the Mac, and don't look now, Skinny Melo is playing valuable minutes for the Blazers. But the entire construct, when the bubble was put together beyond the physical logistics, and we'll give you a sense of what it's like inside the bubble in Orlando, top of the hour, taking you live to Florida, checking in with Mark Medina of USA Today. He's embedded covering the NBA restart. The whole purpose of this elaborate plan, I think, pretty clear. Get Zion Williamson and the Pelicans into the postseason. Because the NBA is about star power. Beyond the connection that it has forged between a generation of fans and bigger-than-life figures, thanks to social media, for the NBA to move the needle in a 5,000-channel universe for casual fans, it's still about the transcendent stars. And Zion Williamson, when healthy, going back to his 1 year at Duke, or if you track prep basketball, has always been a larger-than-life figure. Now, unfortunately, because of the culture we live in, and I've been the recipient of some of this analysis as well, if you gain a pound or two, people are quick to point it out. I believe Russell Crowe has a new film coming out. If we can ever go to movie theaters again, you can stream it directly at your home. I think Russ would say, because we're just that close, Russell Wilson, Russell Crowe, anybody I know with the first name of Russell, Russell Crowe would say, well, he gained the weight for a role. The issue with Zion is, unfortunately, we know he's got a big frame. But if you go back to March when he came back from the knee injury, and prior to that, but let's just say the culmination of how the Pelicans were playing before the shutdown, he looked fit. He looked energized. And what he's able to do with his stature and his weight is remarkable. Now, the question is it sustainable? Are we already seeing foreshadow of, unfortunately, his body betraying him because he weighs so much and it fluctuates? But I'm all in for Zion and the Pelicans making it to the postseason. We're not supposed to root in our business, but I'm in the profession that needs content. Anything that drives the conversation that can shape a narrative, sign me up for it. So, where is Zion physically right now? We'll talk about it with Mark Medina, top of the hour. If you're going to use minutes as the gauge, finally was able to push it up to, and the Pelicans are calling it load management. They say he's being played in bursts. Well, put it all together, he played 25 minutes the last time we saw the Pelicans. After the major disappointment of waiting for him to come back to the bubble after dealing with the family situation, the issue was he was gone for 13 days, and if you're going to defend Zion, he was not able to connect to basketball-related activities. I don't know why he couldn't have run wherever he was or found a way to do some cardio, because when he came back, the first time we saw him, he was clearly out of shape, and I'm not judging anyone when it comes to issues with putting on a few pounds during the quarantine. But Zion is such a remarkable athlete to see him having to be managed by the basketball staff and the medical folks, concerned that because he got out of shape, given how big he is, they didn't want him to go out there and tweak a hammy, not a ham sandwich, don't tweet that at me, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. They didn't want him to get a soft tissue injury, so they eased him back in, and it looked like it was going to be cataclysmic for New Orleans, but thanks to the implosion of Memphis, suddenly, if you just go game by game, you can do that on your free time, Pelicans, realistically, might have the best shot of being in the mix for that 9-8 gimmick. And that's exactly what the NBA wants. So, we'll find out more as Zion and the Pelicans take on the Sacramento Kings, still in the hunt as well for that playoff opportunity. But if you're on Team Zion, it was encouraging to see him be able to play more minutes, balanced by when he was completely winded in one sequence and couldn't even shuffle his way back up the court. But if he's just dealing with something we're all familiar with, putting on a pound or two and getting out of shape, he can play his way back into shape. And candidly, so long as the Pelicans have an opportunity to match up with Portland, if they can win that mini series, two victories, sneak their way into the postseason. We're talking about New Orleans and L.A. It's the Lakers and the Pelicans and all of the connections between those franchises. AD against his old team that he rejected and forced his way out of the Crescent City. Lonzo Ball was going to be the face of the franchise here in Southern California before he was shipped out. Brandon Ingram maybe could take some of the weight that Zion hopes to lose and apply it to himself because he's just freaky skinny. So that's the goal. The NBA can't say the quiet part out loud, but they would love, just from the standpoint of marketing and capturing a bigger segment of folks who don't live and die for NBA basketball like we do, get Zion into the playoffs, whatever it takes. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. We're less than 30 minutes away from a live update from the bubble in Orlando. Checking in with Mark Medina of USA Today as Tiger Woods continues to play the front nine, his front nine, of round one of the PGA Championship in San Francisco. Coming up, I'll try to put what Tiger has been doing and unable to do recently in context. If you care about the view from Vegas, the Sharpies have Tiger at 33-1 to win the first major of the year. Is Tiger going to roar in San Francisco? That's coming up. Now it's time for a sports update. Rich Ackerman has the...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Your chances to be a part of the program are getting slimmer as we progress. 1-800-636-8686. Tweets, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, because by design, we have backloaded the program. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we will start hour number three, focusing on the NBA in Orlando. We'll take it live to the bubble. Check in with Mark Medina, USA Today, a terrific hoops journalist embedded with the association. Get a sense of what daily life is like there. And then an hour from now, we'll wrap up the program with Style Points, talking college football. If you believe it's going to start on time in the Big Ten and ACC, we're just weeks away from those games scheduled to kick off. PFUTechCollegeFootballNews.com will be our guest. If you want to go old school, no more faxes, but emails a possibility. It's RomanHaveATake.com. We're still looking for the huge email of the day. Don't have time to wax your car. 303 touchless sealant is quick and easy. Simply spray on and rinse off. It's just that convenient. Get the ultimate protection and shine in no time. Available at O'Reilly Auto Zone, Advanced Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for all the information. Tiger Woods, Adam Hawk just looked up, is still playing his front nine. At last check, one under, three shots off the pace. Opening round of the PGA Championship, Harding Park, the site in San Francisco, a famed Muni, Ken Venturi, longtime analyst on CBS. As much as I love everything that Jim Nance does, I think Jim, by his own admission, would say the gold standard of golf broadcasting was Pat Summerall with understated play-by-play and Kenny Ventura handling the Ken Venturi handling the analysis. Well, Ken's parents worked at Harding Park, the public course in San Francisco, juxtaposed to the more affluent Olympic Club. And it's really beyond just the pleasure of having championship golf to enjoy with the first major of the year. Always interesting to see the pros, especially with the challenging conditions of a major. If you're in the spinach, you're in trouble. We'll track what Tiger's back is up to if he is errant off the tee. But when these phenomenal pros have to play a course they don't know well, it's always spicy. And Harding Park, since it was renovated, has held just a handful of events. And the last two were won by world number ones, and that's the status of Justin Thomas, who's playing with Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods. You're all caught up. That's the overview. Here's the perspective. If I'm talking golf, and yes, I am motivated by everything connected to San Francisco today, but if I'm going to venture onto the links, it's either a major, maybe the Ryder Cup, maybe on a good day if I'm looking for content. But anytime Tiger's involved, we're going there, because if I could take the Insta poll, undeniably, there are more of you listening today who are fans of Tiger Woods than the fan of the sport or of any sport. I understand the power of Tiger Woods' brand, and it's not a stretch to say right now, think about the global context of fame and all the Instagram famous people or however you define celebrity. Isn't Tiger Woods one of the most recognizable figures in the world? As his father prophesied. So while it's too easy just to tee it up, especially for me, and take shots at Tiger Woods and go through all the grisly details of Thanksgiving weekend in 2009, I'm not in the mood to do that today.
That's private.
And I'm not going to defend Tiger for the ridiculous decisions he made off the course years ago. Don't call it a mistake. Let's go with error and judgment, or just being too cheap to buy a burner phone. But
I gotten away from my core
here
value.
In 2020, the fact that he is still out there, the fact that he is competitive at the moment, so playing his front nine in round one of the PGA Championship, is miraculous. And a credit to his tenacity, his self-will, because in addition to the obvious implosion of his personal life, let's not lose sight of the fact that Tiger Woods is grinding at a stage of his career when most people would have shut it down.
You know, man,
with the back and knee injuries. Significant adversity to overcome. That's the positive. But I can't restrain myself from being true to my analysis. My only thought about Tiger Woods is motivated by his own scoreboard. And this goes back to the origin story. When his father, Earl, was shoving a putter into his tiny hand, and Tiger was reportedly thinking about a new putter. Adam Hawk will join me in the final hour of the program to give me the analysis, not his shirt, Captain Wardrobe, what he's doing with the magic wand. Thank you very much. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. When Tiger was raised to be a champion by a father who had, in many ways, a messianic complex, when you say your son is going to be as influential as Buddha or Gandhi,
I got away from my
or
Buddhism.
The Dalai Lama, you think you had a tough old man? Deal with that. So the fact that Tiger was mentally so focused on the course, yet incapable of being a well-rounded person for the majority of his early career is not surprising. Think about, and this is a bit of a stretch, but all of the child actors who have had so many well-documented issues, although Danny Bonaducci will be filling in next week. I'm here, the Sklars, Bill Ryder, and then Bonaducci because he is a radio savant. But Tiger Woods had everything come so quickly, I'm not going to say easily, because he put in all of the hours to earn all of the achievements. But because he was a comet, and I'm trying to take the long-term view here, when Tiger was able to roar to 14 majors in 2008, the topic, and sports talk radio was very different then, but if you're always going to motivate a conversation by what's the topic? Well, the topic, especially with a major being played, was how long is it going to take for Tiger to blow past Jack and how deep into the range of 19, 20, 21, 22 majors would he have? Would he go back and forth with Roger Federer as we cross sports? But that was then, this is now. And Tiger's ability to even get to that 15th major a year ago at Augusta, and it wasn't a fluke. He won the event in Japan at the end of the season. Remember, he's still one tour victory away from moving past Sam Snead in a capacity of a record we didn't care about in the past, but that would give him the most all-time victories on tour. But when you define yourself by pure excellence, and when your sole motivation by your own admission is to be the greatest of all time, if you fall short, it's not a failure. It just makes you human. And I think that's been the most refreshing part of this chapter of Tiger's comeback. I'm not doing, is he back? He was back for a brief moment, four glorious days, last spring at Augusta National. But I think we can try to take snapshots and get a sense of the curve. Where is he on this elongated comeback, and how long is it going to last? Because where he is physically, with the myriad of structural issues, back and knee, where he is chronologically, how many guys would be out there in their mid-40s with all the health concerns, like Tiger Woods, with their 45th birthday coming up in December? It is extraordinary, and I don't want to go over the top, but it is very special that Tiger's even playing. I'm old enough to remember Jack Nicklaus at the end of his career and what it meant to my father and my grandfather watching Jack in contention, especially on a major. If he even made the cut, there was a look of satisfaction on both of their faces because it reminded them of young Jack. A little bit husky with the crew cut. And one of the reasons why we have the emotional connection to sports is we can also remember what was going on in our lives at that time. So I can remember Jack winning his final major, major number 18, at the age of 46 in 1986 at Augusta. Well, if Jack got it done, Team Tiger's going to tell me. Adam Hawk is just almost going to turn on his microphone, but I'm running the board today. Sit back, enjoy Tiger playing right now. But if you're a Tiger hunk, you're going to say, okay, well, tough guy. You just told me Jack was able to win a major at 46. That got him to 18. Tiger's sitting at 15. Well, let's just put that one in the bank. We'll give him a year to get to 16, and then all he needs to do is put together four solid rounds against the best golfers in the world a couple more times, and we got 19, scoreboard baby. Nothing wrong with wishing and hoping and rooting. So I'm not bashing Tiger in any way. I appreciate the more vulnerable side of his personality we've seen in recent years.
I've been throwing
seems
up for
like
hours.
A tremendous father who cares about his kids. He's let us in more, understanding he's always going to be remote and guarded because that's how he was raised, and that just might be his personality. Not everybody's got to be trying to be Shecky Green like yours truly filling in for Jim Rome. But because I appreciate sports history and because Tiger Woods seemed destined, using that word with intent, to be the greatest of all time, as measured by having the most major championships in the most challenging sport of them all, the fact that he's going to fall short of that goal, there's your prediction. He's not going to get to 18 majors. He's not getting to 19. But why don't we redefine what success truly is for Tiger Woods? This weekend, it's make the cut. Wouldn't that be great if you love golf, just have Tiger on your TV Saturday and Sunday with full weekend coverage on CBS? And then, in this bizarre sports year, let's get to Augusta in the fall and see what Tiger does there as defending champion. Because he's going to be out there. And as I mentioned, back in the day when Jack was playing into his 50s, if Jack made the cut at the U.S. Open, that was a monumental accomplishment. Tiger's going to hang around because this is what he does. Doesn't need the loot, obviously. It's his identity. But I just wonder if he had made different decisions years ago, and we can all go down that road of coulda, woulda, shoulda, what would we be talking about in 2020 today if Tiger hadn't thrown away so many productive seasons because he made some ill-advised decisions? We are getting deep. Adam Hawk is seething at me through the glass. That's fine. That's why I'm here. You're there. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, romanavatake.com. Twitter's BW Weber. Coming up, does the road to an NBA championship in Orlando go through LA? We're talking hoops with Mark Medina of USA Today. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.